Quick update on the big story today regarding Patrick Mahomes. Adam Schefter reporting that the 10-year extension is worth $450 million. The injury guarantee is $140 million. And our next guest is worth all that and more. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, the pride of Maple, Ontario, Andy Petrillo. I think I got that right because there's been times where I've said you're from Woodbridge, and of course, you almost chewed my head off for saying that.
It is Maple, and if I'm worth that much, can somebody quickly send it my way so I can finish off this house and be gone with people and just have some peace and quiet?
I think there's been an issue because they don't know which address to send it to, so you're going to have to be patient, Andy.
Okay, like everything in life, I keep being told to be patient, and I'm starting to lose it, but... Mark, it's been forever since
I know. We chatted yesterday. I guess my first question, anything new?
Yeah, TFC is actually leaving. How about that?
Okay. You got rid of your husband.
Yeah, well, I'm telling him, and it's funny because he's calling me on the other line right now, which is funny, even though I told him I had a 505 hit. He'll just have to wait. And by wait, I mean he's probably taking off soon and wants to say goodbye. Oh. But I told him. I said, there are only so many goodbyes left. Like, I said goodbye on Friday, he came back home. I said goodbye on Saturday, he came back home. I said goodbye on Sunday. I'm like, what is going on? But I believe they are at the airport. They should be leaving momentarily. And I also just wouldn't be surprised if it hasn't come out already, because, again, I've been Cinderella scrubbing floors here in my house. But... just don't be surprised if you hear news of a team as well not being able to participate in the MLS is back tournament. No surprise that we've been hearing about positive tests. And at some point, you know, it's just too close. I mean, the tournament starts in 2 days.
Yeah, it's...
And, you know, I had brought up before when it came to the National Women's Soccer League, Orlando Pride had to withdraw from the tournament because, you know, they had too many positive cases too close to the start of their tournament. They did the right thing. They withdrew. And we're getting to that point now with MLS. They have to do the right thing. I mean, it gets to the point where you're just too close to the start, and certain teams just do not have it under control.
Andy, I feel like we've got a real advantage in speaking with you because you're essentially the test product. You and your life and your role in your husband's life are like a preview for what the NHL is going to go through in a couple of weeks when they say goodbye to their families. And, you know, how has it been for you watching that sport? You've got your eye over there on hockey because that's where you're, you know, obviously you're involved in soccer as well, you know, with your broadcasting, but you've got your eye on hockey to see what happens, but you've got your life in soccer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I've said this before, you know, and actually as recent as yesterday, and as frustrating sometimes as things can be with the NHL and not releasing dates or, you know, firming things up as soon or as quickly as we would like them to, they did the right thing by waiting as long as they did to the last possible day to really monitor how countries, you know, between Canada, the United States, and in particular cities are handling the pandemic, handling COVID-19 and their handle on it, which is why they can then, you know, say, all right, we feel pretty secure, right, Edmonton, Toronto, whereas, you know, NBA... and MLS, you know, and even WNBA, right? Like they announced a long time ago that they were going to go to Florida. And I guess in all fairness, it seemed like a brilliant idea, right? Disney, you're in the bubble. It's great. But unfortunately, that state hasn't really controlled it. And what really upset me from a wife's perspective, to your point, Pooley, is like no sooner did Disney, you know, the announcement get made that NBA and MLS were going there, then they petitioned, or, you know, whatever word you want to use, to their government to open up their park on July 11th. And I said, well, hold on a second. I feel like there's also a responsibility that if you're going to host these professional sports leagues in your area, like, you've taken on the responsibility to care for them, their health and their safety, and now you want to open up your park to the general public? You know, okay, you're going to put up some cones, you're going to put up some fences and say you can't come here because this is where the athletes are? Like, but why would you even do that? So I really felt like they dropped the ball with their sense of responsibility as well. And, you know, I will say this, and, you know, we've heard it as well with the NHL, you know, Frank Saravalli outlining on TSN.ca, you know, some of the things they're doing. You know, MLS as well, Toronto FC in particular, really taking care of the family, understanding that, you know, we are kind of being left behind here without help in many ways, you know, still in the middle of a pandemic. So they are offering, you know, food services, they are offering, you know, cleaning services. They're helping, obviously, with families, you know, women who, you know, have their children and need help with that, because a lot of wives, a lot of players, right, are not from Canada. Mm-hmm. And with borders and everything still being closed and, you know, flights slowly getting going, they don't have the luxury that we do of having family around the corner, right? So the teams have really stepped up to also take care of the families, and that's been greatly appreciated.
She is the host of Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. Andy Petrillo joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. You mentioned Frank Saravalli's article that really points out the major factors about life in the bubble for the NHL. And one section, it's who's in the bubble. And we were chatting about that to begin the show, Andy. You know, the teams are permitted to bring no more than 31 players, and each team is permitted to bring a maximum of 52 individuals, which includes ownership and players and coaches and executives and staff. You know, someone who's pretty competitive, and if you're a part of a team, I could see those elbows coming up and saying, hey, I'm in. I'm not doing any more Zoom calls here, okay? I'm in or I'm out.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, I think that guy right there has the sniffles, right? Just so I can take the spot in the lineup. And you know what I did also, and it doesn't surprise me, but again, it's something I brought up. They outlined that not just the players and, you know, staff around, you know, actually associated with the NHL will be getting tested, but all the support staff, right? The cleaners, the hotel, the cooks, you know, everyone who directly or indirectly is going to come in contact with the players, they are also going to be subjected to testing. Obviously it goes without saying, the temperature check, but also the testing, because that was a big concern as well in MLS, is what about the person cleaning the room? What about the person serving the food? You know, obviously the more we're learning, the more we're also understanding about how long this virus, you know, lives on surfaces. So to some degree, there's a little bit of reprieve and going, okay, maybe, you know, we're a little bit safe, you know, and somebody touching my meal, but that, you know, it's being delivered to my door, maybe I'll be okay. But still, right, like they're around. They are around, and there's a possibility you can end up in the elevator with mm-hmm. them, right? So the NHL outlining that everyone that's in that bubble is going to be tested, to me, makes complete sense, because I know that was still a concern with a lot of MLS players.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The different layers that they've put, essentially five full layers from that top group of 52. But I'm just thinking of that even 52. I know when I was involved with the Leafs, we had 54 seats on the plane, and everybody wasn't on that plane. And, you know, and the point of how much it's changed in terms of sports science and sports management, you know, the medical side of it, in that initial list of 52, you're only required to have one equipment trainer, one medical trainer. Well, you know, teams don't function in that manner. So I'm a little surprised that that number is that tight at 52. And I think a lot of coaches are not going to be in that initial. I mean, a team, we used to joke, Andy, about that Leafs bench during, you know, warm up with the, you know, 15 people on it, and saying, you know, you had your shootout coach, your, right. You know, all these, it's not the shootout coach. And so the different layers of it, because coaching or the right amount of coaching is mm-hmm. going to be one of the most important things to me in this. The temptation to overcoach these guys at this point, having had how long to think about the Columbus Blue Jackets, mm-hmm. will be so tempting. And the less coaches there, maybe the better the team is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might be a bit of an exaggeration to say bare bones, but to your point, I think we've gotten so used to having specialized coaches for everything, right? You specialize in the power play, you specialize in the PK, you specialize in the shootout, right? You're the guy who has the bird's eye view up top, right? And then there are other people down below. Like, you're right, you just get so used to having all these coaches and your video coaches and everybody else, you know, to consult with, but now you have to get creative in how you're going to coach. Maybe there are just certain people who are going to be in it, and maybe the other coaches have to watch on TV poorly. I mean, we do know that one of those seats was also designated for social media content, right? Like, so somebody's definitely going to be providing, you know, certain kinds of videos as well, perhaps to the coaches and not just to the fans. But they definitely have to get creative in how they coach the players and how they do things that they're just maybe not as accustomed to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many coaches, Pooley, would you have said you would have had on the bench when you played?
Oh, well, I can tell you when I first started, there was one assistant coach, and then it went to two shortly after that. And I mean two assistant coaches, period. Wow. It was quite peaceful during practice, Andy. You only had one guy yelling at you, and that was the head coach.
I was going to say, wasn't that Mike Keenan?
It was Mike Keenan. Just having Mike Keenan and no one to temper him was, you know, quite amusing. But mostly three coaches, a head coach and two assistants. And even, you know, even a full-time goalie coach wasn't a standard thing with all NHL teams at that point. And so it's so different now, but coaching is going to be a huge part of it. And Andy, to another point, I said, you know, I really think that the self-policing of players and the peer pressure players are able to put on each other will really, really point out the leadership in the locker room to be able to say to guys, hey, this is what it's about. And, you know, because more than half the group is only going to be there for 5 weeks. When you get past 5 weeks, you're one of the final four teams. And you're playing for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and that was something else they outlined, right? That the teams who do end up making to the conference finals, they'll have their families have the option to come and join them as well. And, you know, we definitely discussed this yesterday, too. That's where your true leaders are going to start to really show up in the room. They're really going to kind of lay down the law and say, listen, this is what we're asking of you. Really, in the grand scheme of things, I get it, and it's tough. And listen, I said before, if my husband ends up going all the way in the MLS's back tournament, I'm not going to see him until mid-August, right? Now, we also, and I would also say there are a lot of, you know, women in my shoes, too, where we're used to our husbands coming and going. This is part of our lives, right? This is part of professional sports. Maybe not in this one big chunk, but to some degree, you know, we're used to it. And I just think the onus is really on the players. It's like, come on, you know, in the grand scheme of a lot of things, it's going to be tough. But, you know, I'll never forget one thing, guys, that, you know, my grandmother told me. And I remember this is when I was doing a lot of traveling with work. John was doing a lot of traveling with work. And my cute little Italian nonna, you know, she said to me, oh, you know, you were Jonathan, you know, Gianni, right? Giovanni, you talk, right? I said, yeah, nonna. I talked to him yesterday. I think at the time John was like in South Africa for a tournament. And I said, yes, I spoke to him. She goes, really? When? I said, this morning. Really? And she goes, when are you going to speak to him again? I said, probably tonight. I said, we'll speak to each other. And then we text. I said, but, you know, I'll actually FaceTime him twice today, and then I'll message him. And she goes, my goodness. She goes, when your grandfather and I got married, 2 days later, he left for the war, and we would mail each other actual snail mail. Remember that? Write a letter, put it in the mail. And they would correspond with each other once every few months. Like, when you really kind of look at the big picture here, you can see your family every single day, right? And I know that it's scary because, again, my husband's actually going to the epicenter of this virus, whereas NHL players are going to Edmonton and Toronto. So I get the fear. I get the anxiety. And then also for the players, I get the anxiety on that end of being away from family. But there's just so many things that when you really kind of nail it down, you're like, I don't know if it's that big of an ask as we think it is. We can get through this. We can do this. And the pressure, fairly, unfairly, whatever, on the shoulders of athletes, because if sports can go, I mean, what was the quote right now that we just saw from the baseball player, right? Sports is a reward for a functioning society. Like, if sports can go, then that's good news for the rest of us. So in many ways, it's kind of like the athletes are leading the charge in this, you know, whether they like it or not.
Andy Petrillo joining us on Overdrive. It's always a good day when she brings out the Nona voice. And I appreciate that. You know, these hubs, they're trying to create kind of almost like an Olympic Village. And part of the proposed CBA, which is not finalized, but Bob McKenzie reporting last week, that the NHL is going back to the Olympics. And when we chatted on the weekend, that was something that didn't surprise you. Now, you have been to the Olympics with NHL players and without NHL players. What would it mean for the sort of globalness of the game to have the NHL players back at an Olympics?
It's huge. I mean, it's absolutely huge. The whole point of the Olympics is to have the absolute best there. And as much as there were incredible storylines surrounding Pyeongchang, I mean, you know, Wojciech Wolski, you know, breaking his neck, right? Like a year before and getting on the team. And now he can call himself an Olympian and he's an Olympic bronze medalist. I mean, there were just so many incredible stories. But if you truly want to capture an audience, if you truly want to, because let's put it this way, the NHL has its own motives, and rightfully so. It's about growing the NHL. To some degree, you want to grow the sport. The bottom line is they want to grow the NHL. They want to create global superstars within their sport. And you only can do that by being on a global stage. So to me, I mean, it's imperative that they be there. But I've also said this when we were leading into Pyeongchang, because a lot of people couldn't also understand, you know, why the IOC, you know, wasn't really kind of, you know, freaking out over the NHLers not being there. And I said, well, because also when you're talking about a global competition, you start to realize where hockey is in the pecking order of the world. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you the darling of the Winter Olympics is figure skating. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the darling of the Olympics. And to many Nordic countries, after that, you're talking about cross-country skiing. You're talking about biathlon. You know, and in Germany, you're talking about bobsleigh, like there's the sliding sports and luge and skeleton. And so you start to really kind of see where hockey is on the pecking order of the global stage, which is then why, ironically enough, though, it is so important for NHLers to go, because that's how you're going to grow it and help it climb up that ladder. And yeah, I did say before that I think, you know, a lot of people probably misjudge just how important going to the Olympics, you know, are for these athletes. And I don't think that, you know, everyone said, well, if they really cared, they would have had it in the last CBA. This is just my opinion. I don't think they neglected to put it in the last CBA because they didn't think it was important to put in. I think it was an oversight because they just never thought it would be taken away. That's my belief. And that's why now they're like, okay, you want to play that game, then we definitely want to make sure it's put in ink in the next CBA.
I'm actually encouraged, Andy, at how harmonious it's been between, at least for the public, between the NHL and NHLPA. And I know they've probably had their issues going through this, but I have to go back one more time to your role as a sports wife. And that is, during John's championship runs, how much did you really see him? And that would be two parts. How much did you see him physically, and how much was he even there mentally during that time?
Oh, yeah, Pooley. I mean, they were working 7 days a week, right? Whether it was training or a regen day or going over tape or him preparing, you know, certain drills still that he felt would have been necessary or going over video of their next opponent. And then everything really, like our lives were hinged on the wins and losses. Right. And when they won, they were still doing the home and away, you know, so, and then even the year before when they still went to the final, but lost that time to Seattle, right? Like everything was, I mean, so 2016, Christmas was ruined in this household. It was ruined, right? Like it was done. 2017 was the best Christmas I can remember since I was like a 7-year-old child, right? So that was, and then even this year, Christmas to an extent was ruined because they obviously shortened it. It just became the one game, right? So they were over in early November as opposed to early December. So he was able to get over it before Christmas to an extent. But Pooley, you're right. Everything was, even when he was here, he was watching a game.
He wasn't here. Yeah.
He really wasn't here. And I mean, I could have walked down the stairs in 9-inch heels and the tightest black mini skirt you could imagine. He'd be like, you still, like, you here? We live together? He wouldn't even have known. Honestly, truly. Like, he just wouldn't even have known.
Well, in a way, you know, some of these teams, as they get into their focus groups, and it's going to be the first time for them that they've been focused to a whole different level with, you know, one task, and that's to win. And I was speaking earlier to Mark about how fast this is going to go. The play-ins are gone. The first round is gone. The second round, you win that, you're going to the Final Four. And it's going to fly by for these guys. As much as it looks daunting right now, you know, more than half the group is going to be gone in 5 weeks.
And I'll say this, and don't get me wrong, and this is, it's so funny how time works, right? Like, not that I want to get all philosophical, right? But it's just, it's so funny how time works. This feels like the longest, you know, lockdown, I guess, in many ways, right? Like March 12th. But guys, it's July 6th. What happened?
It's flowing by in many ways.
Yeah. Like what happened in April,
sounds.
May, and June? That's what I mean. Like in so many ways, something can seem so daunting. And then you blink and you're like, did we seriously just already celebrate July 1st and July 4th? Yeah. Like, are we already here? We have one more month of summer. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's how quickly it flies by.
Well, after hearing your Christmas story, I hope that John is away until, you know, mid-August, which means you're getting some better gifts. That's all, that's all I'm saying. I know you want to see him, but in the long run, I think it's going to pay off for you if he's
away. Tell him to go and win.
Yeah.
Yes.
If he's
away. Well, that's what I said to him. I said, you're going anyways.
You better
win. Might as well win.
Don't waste this.
Yes. If you're going regardless, somebody's coming home a winner. Yeah. Make it be you. That's exactly it.
Andy, wifely advice.
Yeah. Good advice, Andy. It's always a privilege talking to you, especially twice in 2 days.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your evening, and all the best to John and his venture to Orlando.
Thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, there you have it. Andy Petrillo joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom's open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland or buy online at mapletoyota.com. I'm sure you've had some of those conversations before in your life, Dave, where you're like, I'm off.
It's all part of it.
Don't know when I'll see you next.
That's exactly right. And it's, once again, then it goes to the leadership in the room that when you're there, you're focused and you're going to be there. You might as well win.
It's to think that TFC is, I guess, in the air right now and will be playing such a meaningful match this week. You know, it's all happening very quickly, and you hope so, because it means that there's no delays and everyone's able to play.